Good morning, Harvest. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Labor Day weekend. Everybody excited? Anybody get a day off tomorrow? Oh, hey! I wasn't excited until you said that. Huh, everybody doing all right? Everybody doing good? Church? All right, good. I get asked a lot at our house, and hey, how was your summer? How are the Donaldsons doing? How was summer? To be honest, it's kind of a hard summer. It's not a summer I really want to go back and go do again. Anybody else have a summer like that? Anybody else kind of have a, eh? That's why I like Labor Day, because it's like a fresh start. Labor Day feels to me like a fresh start to a new year. Doesn't it feel like that to you? It's like, I'm excited, so don't rain on my parade today, okay? Because I'm ready for a good year. All right, good. Well, we're gonna go right back to finishing our summer series. See, it's the end of the summer. It's the beginning of something new. Off of Hebrews 11, all summer we did faith. It's the whole thing out of Hebrews 11. If you notice, we didn't quite finish it all up, so we're gonna do that today as best we can. We're mostly gonna be sitting on verses 23 through 28. And earlier this summer, we looked at Abraham's life, and we looked at Jonah and a few other people. But today, it's Moses, and we're going to recognize that out of the life of Moses, as people of faith, we get to make some choices. People of faith choose things. That's what we're going to decide today. We get to choose some things. There are actually four choices people of faith get to make. And I got to tell you, this message is one of those messages that's, as you're in it, it's going to be, how can I crank my life up one notch? This is going to be a message that's going to be a little harder to hear. Some choices I got to make that are going to be more difficult. So this is just so you're prepared. Just so everybody's ready to go. Chris, are you ready to go? This is a turn it up message, okay? Just one notch in your life on faith and how am I going to get there, all right? Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they were not afraid of the king's edict. If you're not familiar with the story of Moses, you won't understand what this verse means. So go back to the very beginning of the book of Exodus, and it's actually going to tie in with another person's life we looked at this summer, Joseph. So the Israelites are in Egypt because that's where Joseph went. Then the famine came, his brothers came, they all settle in Egypt. Well, the Pharaoh is getting a little disappointed because there's so many Israelites now. They're multiplying like crazy. The Israelites are multiplying like crazy in Egypt, which is an awesome fulfillment of God's promise that we looked at, that he will make them as numerous as the stars of heaven and as many as the grains of sand by the seashore. He's fulfilling his promise. So the Israelite nation is growing like crazy in Egypt. The Pharaoh's getting nervous that the Israelites might actually outnumber the Egyptians. So they begin to enslave the Israelites. They make them slaves in Egypt. And even while they're slaves and being oppressed, they still continue to multiply in the land. And then the Pharaoh goes, talks to a few midwives and says to them this horrific thing. Hey, as you're delivering these Israelite babies, if they're girls, it's fine, but if they're boys, I want you to kill them. Well, the midwives come back later with a report. He kind of presses on the midwives. Why? They're still multiplying. What's happening? Well, they really cover for the, it's really sweet how they cover for the Israelites. Well, they have babies faster than we can get there, and you wouldn't even understand, and it's kind of sweet. And then Pharaoh makes an edict in the whole land. Any baby boys are to be killed. The baby girls can live, but the baby boys are to be killed. So that's the time in which Moses is born. He was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. Now, that's a thing that only parents can see in a baby. That they are beautiful. It's true, right? Because you see a baby, it's like, it's fine, doesn't have any hair, it looks a little prunish, and I don't know. But it's your baby, that's the most beautiful baby in the whole world. If it's your baby, because you look at that baby you hold in your hands and you've been waiting for that baby for 9 months and it looks like you a little tiny bit and you look in its eyes and you see the hope and you see the love. And of course, that baby is beautiful to you. But can you imagine having this baby in a time when Moses' parents had their baby? And you have a baby and you get so excited and you call your family that you're going to have a baby. And then you got to get a whole room in your house ready and it's all painted. And you got to go to the, Babies R Us and Toys R Us and Babies Be Us. And that store named Bye Bye Baby, and it's actually B-U-Y. No wonder why our kids are materialistic. That's the worst name of all time. You go to Bye Bye Baby and buy all the stuff for the baby. And you get so excited and you can't wait for the baby to come. But imagine just living in that day knowing if it's a boy, he's going to be killed. And faith makes some choices. See, faith chooses, here's the first choice we make. Faith chooses obedience over status quo. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So you know the story, right? So after about 3 months, they decide they can't hide the baby anymore. Probably, baby boys are a little louder and a little more boisterous and a little more not where they're supposed to be. And so eventually, she puts him in the river, in the basket in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby boy in the river. And his little sister Miriam was walking along the bank. And then she says, I know someone who can feed that baby. And so Moses' mom ends up being the mom who feeds Moses and kind of gets to be with him. And it's an awesome story. God's watching over Moses. Faith chooses obedience over status quo. I love Proverbs 29:25. It's been a great verse for me for a long time. The fear of man is a snare. But the man who fears the Lord will be free. It's good for all of us people pleasers, For those of us who, I want everybody to be happy and I want to keep the status quo and I don't want to upset anybody. The fear of man is a snare. You will get trapped by that every single time that you choose to do what people want to do over what God wants you to do. Because every time you choose what God wants you to do, there is freedom. Isn't that awesome? So faith has to make a difficult choice. Now, I'm here to say to you today that I think every believer, every person of faith, this is the most difficult decision on our faith journey. This is the biggest obstacle in the way of us really following after the Lord or not. It's this right here, the number one obstacle in the way, right here. Will I choose to obey or will I choose to go along with the crowd? That is the number one hardest decision of any person of faith. Will I actually do what I'm supposed to do? Let's put our definition of faith up there. We've been seeing all summer. This is our definition of faith. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it no matter how I feel because God promises a good result. Do you see that there? It's believing the word of God and what's the next word? Acting upon it what? Let's say it together. No matter how I feel. Do you get it yet? This is the decision I make as a Christ follower. This is my faith journey. I will obey no matter what. Now, I'm telling you, easier said than done, right? Some of us have little tiny decisions that we have to choose to be obedient or not and fail. This wasn't a tiny decision. This was massive. Can you imagine the pressure? Can you imagine what would happen if the king actually found out that they didn't do what he instructed them to do? Not only would that baby die, they'd probably die. Their servants in the land, this isn't some minor decision they have to make, but they know. They know what God's word says about human life. They understand what God wants for children. They know that this is egregious and horrific that they could ever offer up their baby boy to be killed. So they choose to be obedient rather than to go with what everybody else is doing. Now, I tell you, I hope that I will always be obedient and never go along with status quo. I wish I could always do that. But I got to tell you, I blow it a lot. Little things, big, I just blow it, In fact, here's one example, from this week. I was thinking, what's one example this week I blew it? Here's one. Wednesday night, I went down to the Cubs game with a bunch of guys. My first time going to the Cubs game for the year, and they scored 17 runs. So if you want to invite me back to a Cubs game, if you want them to win, I'm happy to go. It was a good game, wasn't it? It was a great game. So Trey Tatum got like 6 tickets to go to the Cubs game, but we got 1 parking pass, and we're all too cheap to pay for other parking. So they decide my pickup truck is the biggest vehicle among the 6 of us, so that's what we take. So poor Andy Rozier is in the middle seat of my pickup truck, his knees literally in the dashboard of the... How comfortable was that, Andy, on the way to the Cubs game? Just literally, we were having a lot of fun. Anyway, we got off. You know, when you go to the Cubs game, you get off 90 to get onto Irving Park. You know that little exit right there? Well, often there's a homeless person there or somebody asking for money and they have a sign. And I don't know, we were in the middle of a kind of a different conversation and I saw the guy there and I felt pricked that the Lord was saying you should give him some money. But we were having a conversation and I didn't want to start fiddling around with trying to find the cash in my pocket and I just ignored that little thing, right? I just ignored that little, you should give that guy money. And then about 20 seconds later, I see Andy wadded up like a ball in the middle of my pickup truck, reach into his pocket, and I know exactly what he's going to do. And I just felt so convicted. So happy that Andy was the one who listened to the Lord and wished that it had been me. And I'm telling you, we have these little decisions all the time, don't we, church? We have little decisions every single day. See, a faith thing isn't just a day-by-day walk. It's not even a minute-by-minute walk. It's a second-by-second walk of will I choose to do what God's asking me to do, no matter the peer pressure, no matter the expectations, no matter what people think or say, I'm always going to choose to do what's right instead of going along with other people. And this fear of man thing is so built into this decision that we've got to get our minds focused on, Lord, what do you want me to do no matter what? This happens all the time. There's all kinds of things that are status quo decisions over obedience decisions. There's issues of faithfulness and loyalty. Conversations and how we spend our money and time and how we think about other people. There's all kinds of decisions we make that the Lord's saying people of faith choose obedience over status quo. So if that's the case, then guess what that means? If faith chooses obedience over status quo, then it also must be true that faith chooses suffering over pleasure. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now Moses, when he was grown up, did Moses, because of the way God instrumented his life, did he understand that he was an Israelite? Was mom the one there feeding him till he was, I don't know how old? Did he understand he was an Israelite? Yes, he did. So he got adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I'm telling you, getting adopted into that family was pretty awesome. Now he's got a title. It's like the equivalent of being like the Duke of York. I got a big title. I got people waiting on me hand and foot. I got all the treasures of Egypt at my disposal. And trust me, they are many. I can do what I want, go where I want, have what I want. Life is pretty good. There's a lot of people in this room who would choose, I'd leave my family right now and be adopted by that family. I'm in. But he says, he chose, in fact, I love the word, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it. Rather, he made a choice. See, people of faith always making a choice. He chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. You should have those four words underlined in your Bible, the fleeting pleasures of sin. See, Moses said, if I deny who I am and where I come from, I'm denying the Lord. And I cannot deny God. If I say I'm over here with the Egyptians and I got to act like the Egyptians, live like the Egyptians, love like the Egyptians, worship like the Egyptians, and I got to reject all that, I refuse it. Because that's just going to get in the way of me doing what I'm supposed to do. I choose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, isn't that the hard choice that people of God make? Right there. Well, if I go with the Christians and I hang out at church, I'm choosing to be mistreated. But if I hang out with my friends in the world, I will enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Isn't that how it is? You hang out with people of God, just kind of get mistreated. It's a life of hardship. We should put that on a billboard. I think that would draw people to church. Be mistreated with the people of God. Harvest Bible Chapel, Elgin. I don't think that's gonna bring people in. But that is true, right? You see, we enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Don't you feel that every single time you make that choice to sin? Every time. You make the choice to go out all night at the club and do whatever you want to do, and you wake up the next morning going, what on earth? And you feel ashamed and upset, and you choose to come home and be depressed and do things, and you allow your eyes to look over the thing on the computer. You choose to give in to bitterness. You choose to let your anger rise and hand it to somebody else. In the moment, all those things feel awesome in the moment. Every one of those things feels amazing in the moment. And then the next day or the next month or the next year, you go, what on earth am I doing? What's my life like? And see, that's what Moses is saying. I'm choosing to go over here and do the thing that's the right thing to do. I'll be with the people of God, be mistreated then, to go over here and enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. My life in Pharaoh's house with everything that has to offer at the end of the day will lead to nothing because I consider, verse 26, the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. I like that word, considered. So he actually had to think about it. Actually had a choice. He recognizes the son of Pharaoh's daughter, have everything, or be called an Israelite who are enslaved in my own country and have nothing. But here I have Christ, and here I have the world, and he considered, he had to think about it, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. He picked, he chose, I choose the reproach of Christ. Now, it's easier for the writer of Hebrews to say he chose to consider the reproach of Christ. Moses would not have known of Christ, but he for sure knew of the Messiah. He's thinking about the Messiah, the coming, the promised one that God had said to his people, and he considered the reproach, all the turning away, all the rejection of Christ, greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. See, that's what people of faith are choosing. We're choosing to be associated with the reproach of Christ than all the wealth of America. That's what we're choosing. That's a choice to suffer instead of having pleasure in this world for what? He was looking to the reward. Where's the reward? Is it here on planet Earth? Is the reward for the one of faith here on planet Earth? Is that where it is? Where's our reward? In heaven. Where are we storing up treasures? In heaven. See, how many times are we going to talk about people of faith looking forward? So Moses does it again. He considered, he thought about it, and he said the reproach of Christ was greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Sometimes we think this word faith is so sweet, you know. It's just what a sweet word, faith. Let's write it in cursive and put it in the house. It's faith. I think faith is an easy word that, it's a sweet word that has easy outcomes. It's faith. But any person of faith knows there are no easy outcomes in a life of faith. Every choice is a hard choice. We walk the narrow road. We walk the hard path. We don't go down the easy road. We're always choosing the harder road. We're choosing suffering over pleasure. Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. So, person of faith, what are you choosing? To be mistreated with the people of God? Those are awesome people. I hang out with the people of God any day. I don't care what people think about me or what they say about me. I don't care about the reproach of nothing. Hang out with the people of God or going with the fleeting pleasures of sin in the world. That's the choice that people of faith make. So what are you going to do go without? Because you're choosing to identify with Christ. So people of faith choose obedience over status quo, which means faith chooses suffering over pleasure. Which then means this. Faith chooses the future over the present. If we were choosing the present, we would be choosing the fleeting pleasures of sin. But faith chooses future over present. Verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I don't know which of the two times he left Egypt they're referring to here, because Moses left Egypt twice at the anger of the king both times. Once when he killed an Egyptian for abusing an Israelite slave, and Pharaoh was quite upset with him that time. And the second time when he came and said, let my people go, and he eventually took the people out of the land. Either way, faith chooses future over present. You see, faith isn't comfortable. You understand that? Faith isn't comfortable. We never just get to stay in the comfort of this. God's always calling us to something more. We're always, because we're people who are looking to the future, because our eyes are not on the present, because they're on the future, that means life today isn't all that comfortable. We don't just get to do what everybody else is doing. We make different choices. And sometimes God's calling us here in the present to choose something future. Some of us right now are struggling with the decision, and faith is calling us to go, but we want to say stay because it's just too comfortable here. But people of faith go where God calls us to go and goes where he asks us to go. We can't keep living in the present. Because when we live in the present, in the comfort, in what's here, it eventually overtakes our heart. Here's a great example of it. Paul talking in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is talking about all the people who are with him. All the people who are with him. And then he names one Demas. And he just says this about Demas. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. That little verse about one guy who followed Paul is true of lots of people that I have known. People who started great, people who started on the faith journey, but they didn't want to choose obedience over status quo, and they didn't want to choose suffering over pleasure, so they ended up choosing the present over the future. And being in love with the present world, they have deserted the ministry because it got too hard, and some have deserted their faith because they love too much the fleeting pleasure of sin. And see, Christian, this is what happens when we become too comfortable with the present and we don't choose the future. See, people of faith are always, always looking ahead. We're not thinking about what do I know today and how do I break out of all the things from today. See, we just get too comfortable. We get too comfortable in our sin. We get too comfortable in what we know. I love my parents so much. And I've been thinking a lot about both my parents, you know, growing up, just as I'm raising my own kids. And you think back how you were raised, and I was raised in a great house, and I had parents who loved me, and they weren't abusive to me, and they raised me in the right way. For sure, they weren't perfect parents, and when I was in high school, I was really good at picking out all the things that were not awesome about them. But both of my parents grew up in houses that didn't know the Lord, and both of my parents grew up with dads who were alcoholics. Constantly drinking, and when they're not sober, they're doing things and saying things that they never would do when they're in their right mind. And both my parents grew up with that. But for God and his great mercy, both my parents were saved when they were in high school because they had friends who invited them to church. You hear me, students? You got a lot of friends. You don't even know what they're going through. The Lord could be using you right now with some of your friends. If you just made the invitation and brought them, their whole life could be changed, and you could be the instrument that God's using to do that if you just make the choice to go, get over your fear of rejection and what will they think of me, and invite them to church. Their whole life could be changed, and the next generation and the next generation, if you'd have the boldness to make this decision today. My parents gave their life to the Lord and hated what they knew. But they didn't know another way. How did they know another way? The only thing they knew was what they ever grew up experiencing. And yet because they knew the Lord, they knew God made a different way for life, so they made different choices. And by God's grace, they had a different future. That their present didn't have to define them. Isn't God awesome? See, this is why he's always making us look forward for what's better and for what's best. Never in the present of the comfort of today, never sticking us with just what we know, but offering us a hope for tomorrow. I love that. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Here it is again. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. I don't think that is unique to Moses. I think that's the story of every single believer. I think we all endure as seeing him who is invisible. We can't see him with our eye, but we see him in our mind's eye. We endure because we are so confident and assured of Jesus Christ and all that he has for us, that we are so hope-filled that we endure as seeing him who is invisible. Yes, Lord, that's why I will choose the future over the present, because I can see you, I can see what you're asking me to do, and I am assured that it is best. Isn't that awesome? That's every believer. That's what we're all doing. We're enduring as seeing him who is invisible. Well, because we choose future over present, then we have to make this last choice. Faith chooses continuing over stopping. We choose continuing over stopping. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So remember, I got to say, I think Moses is probably, we could take a vote on it, but I think he's probably the greatest leader of all time. I don't know if there's ever been a greater leader before or since like Moses. I mean, just think about his life, the craziness of being born the way he was born and being raised in Pharaoh's house and being off for 40 years out of Egypt and God showing up in a burning bush and saying, I'm hearing the cries of my people for freedom. I want you to go back to Egypt and rescue them. Millions and millions of people to rescue them, to lead them to the promised land while they're complaining and arguing the entire way, doing stupid things time after time. His keeps going. He's got to be one of the greatest leaders of all time. So here's Moses. I mean, he even said to the Lord, the Lord shows up in the burning bush, says, I want you to go, let my people go. Moses is like, I think you should go ask my brother Aaron. He talks better than I talk. I'm not up for this task. I don't want to do it. But he goes anyway because he knows what the Lord is asking him to do. See, another faith choice, being obedient. And he goes and says to Pharaoh, I'm here from the Lord. Now he knows who Pharaoh is, right? I mean, he grew up in Egypt. It's crazy. And he says, I want you to let my people go. Pharaoh says no. And he says, well, then the Lord's going to do something. And he brings this plague. All the water turns to blood. Just imagine. Everybody's dehydrated. Everybody's grossed out. It's horrifying. Then Pharaoh relents, and then he hardens his heart. You know, he does that 9 times. No, then they bring a plague, then yes, and then no. I mean, water to blood, then frogs everywhere. How gross would that be? Nasty, slimy frogs everywhere. Then gnats, annoying gnats in your ear, in your eye, up your nose. Then flies. Then all the livestock die. Then everyone gets boils. Then hail. Then locusts. Then darkness. I mean, can you imagine? 9 things have happened. Pharaoh says no after the 9th one. Can you see Moses and God in the back room having the little discussion about what's our next play? And God says to Moses, here's the next play. Every firstborn in Egypt of livestock, person, anything, I'm going to kill him. Do you hear Moses going, well, hey, Lord, that might be ratcheting it up a couple notches too high now. Like, that's a little much. Don't you? I mean, come on. Is this the thing we're going to do? I mean, we did 9 things. Isn't that enough? I mean, we did 9 horrible things. He's not going to change his mind. Why do we have to do this other thing? You sent me in there 9 times to do this thing. Didn't I do enough? Come on now. You've had a moment or two in your life like that, haven't you? Come on, Lord. You want me to forgive again? Because do you know how many times she has said that to me and I turn the other cheek? Now, for real, God, this is the 10th time and I'm not turning the other cheek. You can't possibly expect me to go one more round with her. Haven't I done enough here with stewarding my money? Can't I do some really crazy, stupid thing now? Hey, God, haven't I done enough? Can I finally be bitter about this thing? Hey, God, I've done so much already. But see, people of faith choose continuing over stopping. We're going to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And he brought the last plague. So, of course, you know, God said to the Israelites, the angel of death is going to pass over, kill every firstborn. But if you kill the lamb and put the blood over the doorposts of your house, the angel will pass over your house. They were obedient, chose to do it. Of course, the Lord protected all the Israelites who did that, but all the Egyptians killed the firstborn of all of them. That's how they were led out of Egypt. Pharaoh finally relented, but then didn't again, and they went and tried to cross the Red Sea. And you know, it's interesting, when I was telling my wife about the message this week, she's reading Deuteronomy, and she said, well, are you gonna tell them all what happened to Moses? Are you going to tell them? I said, what do you mean am I going to tell them? You're going to tell them that Moses never actually got to go to the promised land? Moses, the great leader. Moses, the one who had done all of this, then led them, then endured with all their complaining. Moses had a few blips with the Lord. A few times God told him to do something specific, but he got angry and impatient and did what he wanted. And because of that, his consequence, he'd never actually enter the promised land. That don't seem fair. Do you know all he did? Do you understand? Every single thing Moses did, he should be able to do whatever he wants and get whatever he wants, because he was so insanely crazy obedient to do all these mega things. But see, people of faith don't stop. We keep going. We don't get to say, I've done enough. Haven't I done enough things? See, God's saying every second, every minute, every day, there are decisions we make to choose this life of faith, to follow hard, to go after it. I told you this was a bit of a crank it up one notch message. See, living by faith isn't easy. Living by faith means we make difficult decisions all the time. People in our family look at us like we're crazy people. Got people at work going, why are you doing that? You might have people in your own house going, now what? Why are you always choosing the harder thing? Why are you always choosing the more difficult thing? Because, because I follow Jesus. And because my eyes aren't here fixed on planet Earth and what the joys it can bring me here that are so temporary and fleeting, but my eyes are fixed on heaven, my eternal reward. I want to read to you the rest of this passage, since we're not going to be able to go through it in detail. Verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea and on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Some by faith did awesome things for the Lord, and some because of their faith were tortured, beaten, mocked, and killed. All of them living a life of faith, all commended for their faith, but none of them actually saw, receive what was promised. Why? Because God had provided something better. What's the something better God has provided? Maybe the question is, who's the something better God has provided? Jesus Christ. See, why do we live by faith? Why is it again that we're choosing all these things? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why we're choosing all these things. Because every person in this room who has met Jesus Christ personally has a story. The shame from chasing the fleeting pleasures of sin. The weight of our sin on our backs. The hopelessness in our eyes. The frustration with our life. The constant dealing with our own failure. Then we met Jesus Christ. And the love we felt and the freedom we found and the forgiveness that was granted shook us to the core of our being. And we recognized, this is everything. This is all my heart has been yearning for, and I have found it. See, he has given us something better. He's given us the best. So this is why we choose to live a life of faith, because that is the one in which we are following. And let us never forget why it is we live a life of faith. Let us never forget the perfect one, the Lamb of God, in which we follow. The one who is worthy of our highest and best. Now why do we go back to the stupid things of the world again? Now why are we so upset when we don't get everything we want and we sometimes have to suffer? He suffered for us. I'll suffer with him because he is everything to me. Jesus Christ is everything. That's why. It's because of Jesus Christ that we don't choose status quo over obedience. It's because of Jesus Christ that we don't choose pleasure over suffering. It's because of Jesus Christ we don't choose our present over future. It's because of Jesus Christ we don't stop and we continue. Because he is worthy of it all. He's the something better. He's the something better. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your word and to be in Hebrews 11 once again. God, thank you for this summer of thinking about our faith, building our faith, growing our faith. Remind us again and again and again and again that we're doing this because of something better. God, we would each one of us acknowledge in this room, we'd have to, that things of this world pull at us so often and so strong. God, we need a moment by moment, eyes fixed on you, ready for the future. All our hope is in you. All of our hope is in you. All of our hope is in you. You are everything to us. God, build our faith, grow our faith, help us to make choices that would reflect our followership of you, that would honor you and glorify you. Help us to do the hard things, to have courage, to make the tough decisions, knowing that you're the one we fear. Fear of man is, God, forgive us. Get our eyes fixed on you. All our hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.